Can I have two men who are good at DIY? Come on, guys, you know who I'm thinking of. Dean and Gordon. Where's Gordon gone? He's gone to the toilet. Somebody else said, not Gordon, another man. You're good at DIY, you're good with string. I think you probably need two people. Another man, come on, guys. No, nobody? I can't do it, I need to let him get on with it. What I want you to do, let me explain what I want you to do, is, can you just get that tape measure and just pull that out? We're talking about, well, the last time I preached, I was talking about vision and the different things. God has told us to lengthen the cord. I've always got to get this the right way around. I'm sure I mix it up. We've got to strengthen the cords and lengthen the, no, we've got to lengthen the cords and strengthen, somebody finish the sentence off. The stakes, that's it, my mind's terrible. And so what I want to do, as a church, we're at a really important stage. Thanks, Dean, that's great. You can just let go of that, that's fine. Oh, Gordon's here now. Gordon, sorry, you're good at DIY. Can you come down the front, Gord? Sorry, mate, you were... They chose you. When I say they, I mean me. What I want you guys to do is, you see this? I want you to use that string, and I want you to put some cords on it, and I want you to make that so it can stand. Now, I haven't got any... I have got some tent pegs, but they're at home. Now, just to help you out, Dean, I've got you a pair of scissors. There you go. Now, it's got to be freestanding, so if you want to bring a couple of chairs up, maybe use them as... Maybe you want to use them as something to hold it to. I'm going to have to help him out here. Needs a woman's touch, they said. No, I think they're doing all right here. So this is a tent peg here. You can't open it up, by the way. You're not allowed to open it up. There's a tent peg. Does anybody like camping? Somebody said, yeah. Anybody like 5-star hotels? Fiona? You like fight? I do as well. I like camping as well. Oh, there you go. Hey, Ardeen, I've got another one here. You got it.
You could have both of us working on your house if you want. Just ask to put a tent on.
We'll just ignore them, okay. We need to get ready to grow. And that, it's not a tent, but it was the first thing I could grab. Needs to be held up, doesn't it? We need to do more as a church to get ready, because we are praying and believing for revival when the church and each one of us is on fire for God. Who's excited to be on fire for God today? Amen. And what God is doing in this church and what God has called us to do, without doubt, is... Thanks, guys. Brilliant. I'm going to take a photograph of that. I'll delete it after, don't worry. There's a serious point to make. Because the cords, and I don't want to go up the loft and get the tent out, but these are important to keep this up and to keep it strengthened. And each cord really can represent different things. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I'm talking from the verse that God has given us for this year, which is Acts 2:42. And it talks about really the life of the church, really, that we should be together. So if you, let me encourage you to bring your Bibles along, and if you haven't got one, use one that's in the pew. I'm looking at the New King James Version. It says this, And so all these new people who had been born again, they'd repented, they'd been baptized, or they'd been told to be baptized. There's 3,000 people who'd become Christians that day, although they weren't called Christians in those days. It says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And if you remember last time I spoke about the fact, I mean, doctrine is just so many, many things, isn't it? It's all the things in the Bible, really. So we'll come back to some of those things. But I said, really, two things that stand us in good stead is love. If you do everything in love, then everything else falls into place, doesn't it? Because your heart's right, your motive's right, your actions are right. You don't get offended because it's love that we walk in. So that's important. Breaking of bread, we've just done that. We'll talk about that perhaps in the future. And fellowship's important, which is more than just, we have a cup of tea, we call it fellowship. No issue with that at all. That is fellowship. But fellowship is living and doing life together, isn't it? Yeah? It's so much better to have people, isn't it, and friends and family. Who likes having friends? Some of you. Some of you like, come on, we like having friends, don't we? Yeah? It's nice to have a break from them sometimes, isn't it? But it's nice to have friends, isn't it? It's nice to have somebody that you can turn to and you can talk to. And I want to look today at a story in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 30 about really not having anybody to turn to. But we've always, always, always got God to turn to. And so today I want to talk about prayer. And really the premise for today is hearing what God is saying. Because you know that's important. I always say this in our prayer meetings. And I want to encourage you to come to our prayer meetings. We're going to make some more space and time for us to pray at different times. But we can pray every day. We can pray at home. We can pray any time that we want to. We don't have to close our eyes. We don't have to have our hands together. You know they did that in school just so that you'd behaved. Eh? It's right, isn't it? Or perhaps that was just my class. Now in Matthew 6:7, it encourages not to just have vain repetitions, just to keep repeating ourselves. And you know, prayer is just so simple. And the prayer that I want to look at today is a very simple prayer. You know, when you pray, just get to the heart of the matter. What is it you're asking? Yeah? What do we want Jesus to do? How do we need to hear from him? What do we need him to do in our situation? Let's cut to the heart of the matter. I think it's good, and we always do this in our prayer meetings. I think we should come with prayer and thanksgiving. It's a biblical principle. We read about that in Philippians chapter 4. And as we come, we can then ask God, Lord, I need you to do this for me. I need an answer for prayer on this. I need you to lift the burden off me. I need you to do this. We don't need religious words, and we don't need fancy prayers and Greek and Hebrew. We can keep it simple. So let me just read a little bit of this story. Now, this story really is, let me encourage you to read it. I love the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, because it's very action-packed. There's lots of wars and battles. Who likes a good action film? Just me and Dean, Luke, Roy. Oh, there's a few of us. Come on, it's all the men in it. Come on, let's be honest. David's whole story just goes over a long time in 1 Samuel. Was a big chunk of his life there. And I don't know, I might just throw my notes down in a second, I don't know. Let's see where we go. The premise of this is that David, and I read one commentator said this, he felt like this was a period in David's life where he was backslidden because he defected to go to the Philistines. Yeah, who were the Philistines? Remember Goliath? He was a Philistine. He was the enemy of Israel. So David's defected. Why has he defected? Because King Saul is out to kill him. If somebody's out to kill you, if somebody's after you for some reason, what do? You go to a place of refuge if you can. And the refuge for David and his mighty men, 600 of them, went down to the Philistines, to King Achish. And he gave them a place down called Ziklag, which is a beautiful name, isn't it, of the city down in the south. And of course, I think the reason the commentator said that he's backslidden is because he's telling a few pork pies lies, is David. Because he goes to King Achish, and Achish says to him, David, where have you been today? I've been fighting against Judah. He's going to be the king of Judah and Israel one day, isn't he? And he's been fighting against them, he tells King Achish. But what actually he's been doing is this. He's been fighting against Judah's enemies. And he puts everybody, it's a bit brutal, this is, the Old Testament's a bit brutal. But he puts everybody to death so that nobody can grass him up and say, King Achish, this is what David's doing. So it's an interesting, there's a whole interesting time in David's life. And so there's too much to read, really. You need to read kind of 1 Samuel 27 to 30. But let's read this little bit. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. Oh, here's an important point here. David has gone to fight against Saul with the Philistines. But guess what? The Philistines are going, hang on a second. He's Jewish. He's from Israel. He's a Hebrew. He might turn on us, hadn't he? And he might fight against us. And they remember his fearsome reputation. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. David's a good friend, but he's a very bad enemy. And so all the lords say to of the Philistines, they say to King Achish, we don't want him. Send him back to Ziklag. And so this happens. So he's on his way back from being with Achish and going to battle. And it's we pick the story up in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. You know, as the pastor, I'm always here in that pastoral sense. If you've got any problems, I can't necessarily fix your problems. I can pray with you, I can support you, I can love you, I can help you. And I'd encourage you always to take that option of just that love and support. But sometimes in life, and in this particular case, although David's got 600 mighty men, and remember that time they went to Saul and they got a jug of water for him because he was thirsty and they risked their lives. I'd have been annoyed with him because he tips the water away and doesn't drink it. He says, oh, you know, I can't have you risking your lives for me. I'm like, drink the water, I've just got that for you. These are mighty men, they're strong, and you read some of their exploits are just fabulous, what they have done. And here they are, brokenhearted, distressed. And David would normally turn to these guys, he'd got them there with him. On this occasion, he hasn't got anybody. There's nobody. He can't go to his wives. We'll just gloss over the fact that he's got two wives for a second. That's Old Testament, so if you've got two wives today, that's not right. He can't go to his wives. He can't go to his family. He can't go to his friends. But he can go to God. And here's the thing. If you've got nobody to go to, you've always, always got Jesus. Always. And even if you have got people to go to, you still need to go to Jesus. Yeah? Because he is the answer. Prayer works. If you're a Christian this morning and you've prayed and something's happened and you've had a positive result, give me a show of hands, folks, because the power of prayer works, doesn't it? God answers prayer. And so that's what David does. And the important thing about this is this. David prays at the heart of the matter, a very simple prayer. It's only a few words. And the important thing is the answer. He hears the answer and he does what God has said. And the word for the Lord today is that in this sense, when you pray and you're asking for wisdom and for guidance, when you hear from God, do as he said. That's quite simple, isn't it? Sorry, I don't know. Did I say that a bit aggressively then? Do as he said. I've had times when I've heard from God very clearly, and you think, is that really you, God? And you do, you go your own way, and I've learned the hard way. When you hear from God, obey and do as he said. And this is David's prayer. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now the ephod is a costume thing that they had to wear because the priest was the one who needed to be praying on his behalf and inquiring of God. And this is David's prayer, verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued. He and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, for they were so weary that they could not cross the brook in Besor. And so this story develops, and he goes off, and we'll look at the end of the story to see what happens. But God has promised him something. Has God ever given you a promise on something? He'll come good on it. When God promises, he will come good on it. Sometimes it might take a while. It could be a long time. It could be a couple of years. Who knows? It can be quite quickly. Here, it comes quite quickly. Let me just think about these verses. This is one of our verses that we use for our prayer. It says this in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. We can have a conversation with God in prayer at any time. And I would encourage us to do that, to make sure. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth who said, I never pray for more than 20 minutes, but I never go more than 20 minutes without praying. And I don't know about you, but that's quite a challenge, isn't it? Because when you're doing other things, when you're concentrating on other things, it's hard to pray, but we need to just keep talking to God and develop that prayer relationship with him. Have we got any positive people in the room? Anybody positive? Only a few of us. I can't remember which match it was, Beth. One of the first football matches we went to, and I really did feel this was a Holy Spirit-inspired moment, that I said to Beth, we were losing 3-0. It was the Wolves, Matthew, so, yeah. And I said to Beth, and I've got to say, it's a weird one, but I really honestly believe that it was a Holy Spirit moment, that I said to Beth, and it wasn't about the football, it was about a life lesson. It was about 10 years ago or something. I said, Beth, we're going to come out in the second half, and we're either going to draw or we're going to win. But the point is this, you never give up. Never, ever give up, right? In anything in life, and there's a whole saying that Winston Churchill used to say about giving up, which I can't remember all of it. It wasn't one of his simple ones. It was quite a long one. About never giving up. We should never give up. We should always hang in there. Amen? Now, I think that's good in a positive sense, yeah? You know, we can always turn it around, yeah? And you've always got to believe for the best. You've always got to hope for the best. But you know what, if I asked that question a different way and said, how many of you have got faith? Because that's what we're really talking about, isn't it? Have you got faith to believe that God can do what he's promised? Because David was a man of faith. Because straight away, they saddled the horses or marched or whatever. They set off straight away. There's no gap in the story. So they went, and they left 200 of the men behind because they were exhausted. But the 400 went off. And to be quite honest with God, whether there was 600 or 400 or just David on his own, it's God who gives the victory. It's his battle, it's his fight. And so often we try to fight it, don't we? Guess what, folks? Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's about powers and principalities in the spiritual realm. That's really what it's about. They manifest in the physical sense. And so David goes off. He's heard from God, and it's so important. And in the context of our prayer meetings, you know, when we have those moments of silence, they're not awkward moments. Have you ever been on a date with somebody and it's been really awkward? No, Normie. It's not that kind of silence. It's not that kind of silence. It's a moment when we're saying, Lord, we want to hear what you are saying. Because what he says matters far more than what you say or what I say. What is God saying to us? What is he saying to us as a church? What is he saying about your situation and your circumstance? And the important thing here about prayer is this. Have you asked God? Have you asked God? What is God saying about it? There was I think I've probably shared this before, there was a tragic situation when a young woman, she was only 24, she got cancer, and we really did pray for her. And I said to her the one day, she said, oh, I'm standing on the word of God. And I said, oh, what verse or verses have you got? Oh, no, you know, I'm just standing on the word. And the truth is, folks, we've got to get a word. What is it that he's saying? What is the verse that he's speaking to us? And we've got to pray it. And I've done it before. I've prayed for 6 months, a particular verse in the situation concerning this church a few years ago. It's like, God, what's going on? And he gave me a verse at the start of the year. And I prayed it, and I prayed it, and I prayed it, and I believed it. And the first half come true quite quickly. But the second half, you're like, oh, okay, the bad part's come to happen. What about the good part? So you keep praying, and you keep standing on the word. Because to just say, I'm standing on the Bible, you might as well get your Bible and just stand on it, hadn't you? Physically. I don't recommend you do that. But what I do recommend is that you open it up and you say, Lord, what are you saying to me? And the important thing is, I just think back a few weeks ago when Emma talked about questions. Emma Hyde, we had as a visiting speaker. She talked about questions. I've been praying about some stuff and it's like, what's the right question that I need to ask God? David knew, didn't he? Straight away, because that was a regular prayer that he prayed when he'd got enemies to go and tackle. What did he say? Shall we go and pursue them? What's the word of the Lord? Shall I go? And David listened, and he went, and he pursued, and God gave him success. And that's the point. It's God that gives us success. It's God that answers our prayer. It's incredible, isn't it? But let's just go back to that end of verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself. So hang on a second. David must have been feeling a little bit weak then. You can imagine he's distressed because he's lost stuff. He's lost his city, and more importantly, he's lost his family. Fortunately, nobody's been harmed or killed in any way. But he strengthened himself with the Lord. We need to spend some time with God, folks, in his presence and get strengthened and come to him. Psalm 91 tells us to go to the secret place. The secret place is that place where we get alone with God. I love our corporate prayer meetings. We have our public times together, and they're amazing. But sometimes it's just you and God, and you strengthen yourself in him. Now, I've gone completely out of order with my notes here. Well, I'm in the right order. I just don't know where I am because I ain't turned the pages. But Jude tells us, I'm not going to tell you the chapter number because there's only one chapter in Jude, just in case you were wondering. So the book of Jude says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. If you speak in tongues, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I really encourage you to spend some time just praying in tongues, because it builds you up. It's kind of another word for strengthening, is it? It builds you up. You can feel awful. Terrible things can be going on in life. But when you start to give thanks and you start to speak in tongues, it completely changes everything. If you don't believe me, try it. But don't just try it. You know, make this, I was going to say a habit. Make it a discipline, because we need to build ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. You know, prayer is key to everything. And it's one of the strands, it's one of the cords that we need to strengthen in our own lives, in my life, corporately. And so we want to pray more and more. It's the most important. The pastor said to me some years ago, he said, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, more and more people come to the Bible study. He said, if I talk about prayer, less and less people come. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, prayer's exciting. Who finds prayer exciting? Put your hands up nice and high so we can see them. But if we're honest, we can find it a struggle sometimes, can't we? If we're really honest. But actually, if we can become people who are people who love to pray, it will change everything. Every revival, every major great thing, people sent off on mission, things like that, comes out of prayer. It's the most important thing. And as we ask God, it's important that we hear what He says back to us. You know, when we have a conversation with somebody, it's not a conversation if only one person's talking, is it? Yeah? It's not a conversation. It's just a dialogue of somebody saying something. And so it's a two-way thing. So as we pray, as we ask God the right question, what is it you need to ask Him today? What question do you need to ask Him today? What is your, shall I pursue Him? Shall I pursue them? And shall I be successful? Shall I overtake them? What is that prayer that you want to pray and need to pray in your situation? You know, you don't get any answers to prayer if you don't pray. Do you? You can't say, well, God's answered that prayer. Oh, He's answering prayers that I've not prayed. He's at work, but He's not answering the prayer that you've not prayed, because you've not prayed it, have you? He's kind of done it anyway, but you know what I mean. So he prayed, he heard, and he took the relative action. But you see, in life, and I always take issue with the people of the prosperity gospel, because it's not just about having lots of money, but it's life is perfect under the prosperity gospel. Has anybody got a perfect life? Because I'll swap with you if your life's perfect. It's not, is it? Life is not perfect. But God is good, God is for us, God helps us. God helps us to overcome every difficulty, every challenge, and everything that we face. And the truth is, what's important is our testimony. Has anybody got a testimony this morning? Nobody? Three of us. I know that's not true. We've got testimonies, haven't we? You see, what David did as well was this. In a few chapters earlier, in chapter 17, David and Goliath, when he comes to fight this guy who's like 9 foot tall, you cannot beat this man. He's a warrior. He's well-trained. He's well-armed. But you see, David's got a testimony, because he looks back at his life and he said, when the lion came along, has anybody ever fought a lion? Or a bear? I mean, what a bear's 10 foot when they stand up. I was tempted to bring a teddy bear in this morning and just show it and say, oh, look at this little cute thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking a bear that sort of stands somewhere up here, you know? But David said, my testimony is this. When there was a lion, and you've got to stop and think about that for a second. We think of that as a sort of Sunday school story. There's David, a shepherd, out in the wilderness with his sheep, and a lion comes along. What are you going to do? You can't run fast enough to beat them. Bears are pretty quick, even though they're quite chunky. But David said this in 1 Samuel 17:37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, David was praying and he was testifying and saying, it's not me that's killed the bear or the lion. It's not me that's overcome the difficulties in the past. When you've overcome difficulties, it's God doing it for you. It's His battle. He has done it for you, whatever that battle is. And so David reminds himself of the goodness of God. He reminds himself of these things. And I'm sure David, whether he says it out loud or not, remembers these things of how God has done things in his life, how he has answered prayer. And of course, we know the story of Goliath. It doesn't end well for the big fella. You know, there's a story in Joshua 9. The Gibeonites, who were neighbors with the Israelites. Remember, Israel have come out of bondage in Israel, out of slavery. And as they leave the promised land, everybody starts to hear about how awesome the God of the Israelites is. In Joshua chapter 2, I think it is, where they go and see Rahab, the prostitute. And as they spy out the land, and she says that to them, everybody's hearts have melted like wax because they've heard of the exploits of your God. They were too afraid to fight because they just heard what had happened to others. And so the Gibeonites had heard about the children of Israel, about their God, about how awesome their God is, and so they're fearful. So the Gibeonites go, let us pretend that we've come from a distant land. They bake some bread, they let it go moldy, they put their old clothes on and their old shoes, and they look like they've walked a distance, and they say, well, they tell them a lie basically. And Joshua, who's a great character in the Bible, he's very successful in many ways. The thing that he doesn't do is this: he does not seek what the Lord says. He did not inquire of the Lord. And in all of our situations, so often we need to inquire of what God wants us to do, don't we? Because so often we pray, Lord, will you do this and will you do that? Well, you know, sometimes God's got a better way of doing it, hasn't he? Yeah? God's got a better way of doing it. We need to inquire of him. So really, and I'm going to ask you, Sue, in a moment, if you want to just quickly share about the weekend. Is that okay? Yeah? Just very quickly, because our time's through. Don't give up. Don't give up praying. Don't give up believing. Don't give up trusting God. You know, the truth is, I've said this before, and then I heard somebody say it the other day, Peter Gregg, the 24/7 prayer guy, said this, and I've said it many times before: if our prayers were answered instantly all the time, wouldn't take any faith at all, would it? Wouldn't take any faith. But God wants us to be people of faith. So when we pray, when we believe, when we have faith, God will move and God will do what he's called us to do. But don't give up and don't give in. Because it's easy to give in, isn't it, to our temptations, to doing it our way. I've done so many funerals where they sing that Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. Let's not give in to our way, let's give in to God's way. Because his way is better. Don't get down. Does anybody ever get down? Just four of us. We get down, don't we? But really what we need to do is to get up, isn't it? Or if you do get down on your knees. Get down on your knees and pray. Because he'll lift off that burden. You know, I told the story many times when I went to the Assemblies of God conference, I think it was 2022, and the guy preached, and it was like, oh my goodness me, it's like there's 2,000 people in this room, but this message is just for me. I could hardly see the steps because there was tears in my eyes, and I went down to the front and somebody prayed for me and the burden was lifted off. Because the truth is, sometimes we need somebody else to pray with us. You know, I've sat with people in a pastoral setting and they said, I don't know what to do. And your prayer can be simple. I said, look, it's probably about 10 or 12 years ago, I said to this couple, you simply need to ask God to help you. because they were in a desperate situation. They weren't in a position to pray. So I prayed with them, prayed for them, I suppose you might say. But it was a simple prayer of, Lord, help. Because, folks, the simplest of prayers in the Bible seem to be the most powerful, don't they? Amen? So let's pray. Father, we just bless your holy name, Lord. And I pray that we would be people, Lord, that you just, as we pray for a hunger for God, I pray there'd be a hunger for prayer, because that changes everything, personally, in our families, for the church. So, Lord, just give us a burden to pray. I thank you that your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and answer their prayers. So let's be passionate, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen.